Good morning. How's everybody? Boy, this is a full crowd. Woo. Well, I am just excited to be here and share with you my life story. For those of you that may not know me so well, I am Linda Immel. And this morning I want to share with you my story, encourage you to look at your story, and challenge you to embrace God's story in you. Well, I was born and raised on a farm down south of Peru, Indiana, where we milked cows and we grew corn and beans. I attended the Loree First Brethren Church. I came to know the Lord at a young age. I had wonderful godly parents, an older brother, and two younger sisters. Yes, I was very blessed as I was growing up. When I graduated from high school, I really had no idea what I wanted to do. So I moved to Lost Creek, Kentucky, and I began working at Riverside Christian Training School. I was following God, but I was also having a blast. I didn't have any bills to pay. I got to hang out with some really fun kids and work with some wonderful people. In fact, I almost got married down there, but that's a whole nother story. I also had my summers free to counsel at church camp. So what more could I ask for? I realized much later in life that I may not really have been following God as much as I thought I was. Because after 3 years, God abruptly slammed that door in my face. I moved back home and I started attending business college and working part-time. Well, that's when I heard that my good friend the Dixons from Huntington were moving to Mansfield, Ohio to start a new Brethren church. So I signed up to help following God to Ohio. I became what they call a tent maker, like Paul did during his missionary journeys. That's where you go to a place, you help to start a church, you find a job, and you support yourself. Sounds very godly, don't you think? How could it be wrong? But slowly and very unnoticed, I began to take the pen out of the hand of God, and I began to write my own story. Now, I was doing all the things that a good Christian person should do if they are following God. I helped to start a youth group at the Mansfield Brethren Church. I was teaching children's Sunday school classes and helping with the worship. I was on the visitation team, inviting people to that new church up on the hill. But you know, in this good life story that I was writing, I stayed away from anything that I couldn't do on my own. Anything I undertook, I knew I could do. The hard stuff, or the stuff that would have strengthened my faith and dependence on God, I stayed away from. After 3 years in Ohio, I moved back to Indiana, and I began working with the youth at the Peru First Brethren Church. And that is when I became reacquainted with Keith Immel. I remembered him from Camp Shipshawana when we were actually in grade school. And his dad had been on the board of directors when I was at Riverside. I was so grateful that God had led me to a Christian man, but honestly, I was even more grateful that he was Brethren. Even as I was writing my own story, God was honoring me. And that's the kind of God we serve. After getting married and moving to North Manchester, I quickly became involved here at First Brethren. I knew I could teach kids Sunday school classes, so I did. I could sing, so I joined the choir. Anything I knew I could do, I did it. Because honestly, I like being comfortable. Yeah, some people might say I like being in control. So my pen was always writing something that was familiar and comfortable. Now, I would venture to guess that I'm not the only one like that. Perhaps some of you here today have the pen grasped tightly in your own hand. Now, I'm not saying you're writing a bad story. The things that you are doing in your homes, here at the church, and in our community are all good and wonderful things with kind motives. But is it really what God wants you to be doing? Or is it just comfortable? Then in 1997, after Keith and I had been married for 12 years, we attended a Brethren Way of Christ spiritual retreat. That weekend changed our lives forever. For the first time in a long time, I realized how deeply Jesus had suffered for me and how much he had sacrificed on my behalf. I looked at myself, and I didn't necessarily like everything that I saw. My faith and commitment to God was examined, and as I looked at my life story, I knew I had pretty much written it all, attaching God's name to it. I came away from that weekend knowing that God was asking more of me and that he wanted to make me into a better person for him. That Sunday, on November the 2nd, 1997, I handed the pen back to God and I began to allow him to write his story through me. As Keith and I reflected on what we had learned at Brethren Way of Christ, we decided that whatever God asked us to do, we would do it, even if we knew we couldn't. We figured if God was asking us to do it, he would help us to complete it. Well, it was just 7 months later that we were sitting over at Warville Park at a church picnic. And that's when Pastor Kurt and Heidi came and they sat down across the table from us. We were enjoying a conversation, and then they began to tell us about this opportunity they had to travel to India with Youth for Christ, leading a group of college students on a work project. And I was thinking, wow, that's really neat. And I promised to pray for them. And then Kurt says, would you guys consider going with us? And I said, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. Well, and then, of course, the Moses comes out in me, and I begin to list all the many reasons why we cannot go to India with them. I mean, I was almost 45 years old, and I had never been on a plane before. And we had two preteen kids. We didn't speak whatever language it is they speak over there, and we didn't have that kind of money, and the list just went on and on and on. No, I had no plans to go to India. And then in his very kind way, Kurt says, well, we're not asking you to give us an answer today. We just want you to pray about it. Well, in the back of my mind, I thought that was a pretty ridiculous idea, but I said, okay, I'll pray about it. Well, as we began to pray and seek the leading of God, we knew indeed that God was asking us to go to India. He broke down every barrier that I had placed in the way. He provided all the funds that we needed. He allowed Joyce to go with us. And then he gave David a 3-week party with family. Prayer became the most important thing in our journey to India. If you are willing to let God have the pen, you better be praying and have prayer warriors with you, because he is going to ask you to do things that you can't even imagine. I remember walking across the tarmac at the airport in Indianapolis. Of course, that was before 9/11. So I look up and I see David in the window and I say, I can't do this. And that's when Kurt gently takes my arm and he says, yes, you can. People are praying for you and for David. You can do this. Well, needless to say, for the second time in less than 2 years, I was on a journey that would completely change my life. I fell in love with the people of India and was challenged in my commitment and dedication to the Lord. I learned that when you have nothing of much earthly value, you depend on God in a much deeper way, and I wanted that. I learned that the true importance of prayer from the believers in India. And in the course of those 3 weeks, I knew that I would never be the same. I knew that God was writing my story totally different than what I ever thought it would be. Did he erase those parts that I had written? No, I don't think so. Because sometimes I look back on those chapters in my life and I realize how much grace God has given me. And I love him even more and stronger every day because of it. Over the past 17 years, God has allowed us to travel to other parts of the world, meet many of our global partners, which the flags represent them in the sanctuary today, and meet some very incredible Christian people. Well, as you know, Keith and I traveled, again, had the opportunity to go to India and visit with friends and to observe and participate in the Brethren mission there. We were really blessed to reconnect with the Youth for Christ workers in South India that we met all those years ago on that first trip with Kurt and Heidi. Our time with them was spent in laughter and reminiscing about that trip, but we also got the chance to share with high school students in the schools where Youth for Christ works. In South India, there is more of a Christian influence there, and so the schools are more open to hear the gospel. What a great privilege it was to share the love of Jesus with those young people. Well, to the best of our ability, we try to do as Psalm 96:3 instructs. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. From there, we traveled north to Rajahmundry, the headquarters of the Brethren Mission in India. We were joined by another couple from Ohio. Jean and Sue also was raised in the Brethren Church, and they were great traveling companions. And I got to view the Brethren ministry in India through new eyes. We were also warmly greeted by the Kumars, Prasanth and Nirmala, and Sudhir and his wife Lata. So many of you over the last few months have asked us about our trip. So this morning I want to share a few of the stories and show some pictures from our trip there. First of all, welcome to India. My favorite part, of course, was a time spent with the orphan kids. They currently have 77 boys and girls who live in the Brethren orphanages. Most of these are not what we would consider true orphans, which means they have at least one living parent. But most of them come from very poor villages where there is a small Brethren church. Their parents cannot afford to feed them or send them to school. So Nirmala brings them to the orphanage to live and to get an education. While they are there, they learn about Jesus, and they learn to serve him in the church. Upon completion of their schooling, they often return to their village to help support their family and help in the village church. Let me show you around the Brethren compound. It's a gated community, and that's for protection of the children. The top picture is of the Brethren Church building. You can seat about 300 people inside that building, and then on Sundays, they set up about 300 chairs more under a canopy outside. The building on the right is the boys' orphanage. On the ground level is their dining room and study area. The second floor is their rooms, and then on the third floor is the Brethren Sewing School and the Brethren Bible Institute. The bottom picture is taken as I was standing at the gate at the length of the compound. That building on the back on the left is the girls' orphanage building. In the basement, they have their dining room and a large gathering room. On the back side of the building that comes into the first floor on a side street is the entrance to the Brethren Charity Hospital, and the girls have their sleeping rooms on the second floor. Well, here are the kids, and they've gathered, and we spent time with them singing songs and handing out the pictures and the cards that the VBS kids made for them last summer. They have very little as far as material things, but they do each have a cabinet or a locker to keep their possessions in. That day, we were able to present them with a new bed sheet, a blanket, and a new towel. These are paid for by their U.S. sponsors. We also had taken a small gift for each of the kids, and so the other picture is me giving this gift to one of the oldest boys. His name was Sudhir. Now, I have to say, he was my favorite. And the reason he was my favorite is because he could speak English. Honestly, it's kind of hard to connect with people if you don't speak the same language. And I'm sure that's why I had Sudhir as my favorite. I have learned since I've come back that he has now graduated from the school and left the orphanage, and he is seeking a suitable job. So whether we were sitting on the floor playing caroms, which is very ungraceful, or if we were learning how to play cricket, which is even more ungraceful, or we were chasing each other around a circle in a game they taught us called the tiger and the goat, Keith and I was truly, truly blessed to spend time with these kids. Now, thanks to a Hindu holiday when all of the schools were closed, we got to spend most of a whole day with them. And even though that was Hindu, we felt like God had blessed us with that special time, and we were grateful. We were privileged to participate in the annual Pastors and Wives Conference held in Rajahmundry. Now, there were about 80 village pastors and their wives that had traveled to attend this time of worship, fellowship, preaching, and planning for the coming Christmas seasons, services. You can remember, or might remember, that last fall, Keith and I asked you to help finance the purchase of Bible covers for each of the pastors, and this church was most generous. When we arrived, we found that we not only had enough money for all the Bible covers, we had enough money left over to buy each of the pastors a flashlight. We were blessed to be able to present those gifts to them from this church. Now, you probably will never have the opportunity to meet them face to face, but these people send their love and they say thank you to you. The conference ended with an ordination service where 29 village pastors were officially ordained as brethren elders. Another 9 young men were commissioned and will be ordained upon the completion of their Bible training. As I watched this service and heard Prasanth Kumar pray over these men and their wives, I was struck with the urgency to be a brother prayer warrior for these dear people. Each day, they face hardships that we will never even imagine. I hope that when God prompts you, you too will say a prayer for the Christians in India and around the world. Nirmala has often said to me, people in my country will not listen to what I say about Jesus when they are hungry or sick or living on the streets. I must first take care of their physical needs, and then they will hear what I say about the mighty love of Jesus. For that very reason, they have started ministries that will fill the physical needs of the people. Several years ago, they started the Brethren Sewing School so that destitute women could learn a trade that would provide them with an income for life. These women are widows or very poor with no husbands, or they have been divorced by their husbands for coming to faith in Christ, which is the only legal way you can divorce somebody in India. Most Indian women don't have skills to give them an income. They are dependent on their husbands, and without one, they find themselves homeless or selling themselves for money. The sewing school teaches them a good trade that will allow them to find a job or start their own business. Now, it's a government program that they have, and at the end, they have to take an exam before they're granted a certificate. The women don't have to be a Christian to attend the sewing school. Nirmala will not turn anyone away because of their religion. The sewing school is free to anyone who comes there, but they also know that before every class starts, they sing praise and worship songs, they have scripture reading and prayer. They'll even be given a Bible if they want one. If they come there, they will hear the Word of God, and they will hear about the love of Jesus. Now, tailoring is a huge business in India. There are a few places that you can go and actually buy ready-to-wear clothing, especially the women's clothing. You go to the store, you buy the fabric, you take it to a tailor, they take your measurements, and they make you a garment. If you can sew, you can make a good living for yourself and your family. Well, I want to tell you about this young lady who we met and how she came to be at the Brethren Sewing School. Her family lives in Rajahmundry, and I would guess she's about 19 years old. Her father is a very poor taxi driver. He cannot afford a dowry for her. A dowry is something that the father's bride presents to the groom, and marriages are still pretty much arranged in India. So without a dowry, she really didn't have much hope of being married. She had no skills other than just helping with her younger siblings. So one day her father says to her, "I cannot afford to keep you in my home since you are not contributing financially to our household. You must leave." It's pretty much how it's done there. She was terrified, and she was afraid for what was going to become of her. So one day she is sharing this with a woman that she had met, and this woman said to her, "You should call the Brethren Mission. They will teach you to sew for free." She came, and she met Nirmala, who enrolled her at the sewing school. She learned fast, and she excelled at sewing. But more importantly, she began to hear about Jesus. As she's sharing her testimony with us, she said, "I had never heard about Jesus before coming to the Brethren Sewing School, and I never knew anybody loved me like that." Psalm 96:5 says, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." As she hears more about the amazing love and wonder of God, she is learning to trust Him for all of her needs. Well, she's about to complete her one-year course of study at the school and take her exams. So we were honored to be able to present her with a sewing machine that she will be able to use to start her own tailoring shop. She wants to help her family and provide income for them, and she was really a blessing to us. Another way that they care for the physical needs of the people is to provide free medical care through the Brethren Charity Hospital. It's actually more like a clinic because there's no beds there for them to stay overnight, but they call it a hospital. The doctor and his assistant volunteer their time to look after the sick. After a day's work in his own medical clinic, the doctor will see up to 60 people in an evening. Before any of the people sees the doctor, they hear scripture reading and they are prayed over. As physical healing comes, it often leads to spiritual healing. Again, no one is turned away because of their religion. Many will walk for miles or come from surrounding villages just to see the doctor, and all the services they receive are free, and the medicines is given to them free as well. Well, last fall, again, we collected medicines, medical supplies that you gave to us. They were overjoyed to receive these medicines, vitamins, and bandages to stock their supply cabinet. Every month, they spend about $300 on medical supplies, and we were able to take almost a two-month supply to them. Many of you prayed for those medicines, and God honored those prayers so that we were able to actually deliver all three suitcases full of medicines to them. And I thank you very much for that. One of the last ministries I want to highlight, and perhaps the most important to spreading the gospel in India, is the Village Brethren Churches. I'm so grateful to this church for partnering with 11 of the pastors serving in India. Through your offerings, you helped to do this. 10 of those pastors are in these small villages. Their pictures are outside Pastor Ron's office. If you haven't taken the time to look at those, I hope you'll do that. We had the opportunity to visit 4 different village congregations. Reverend Barnabas is the pastor of this small little church, and he is one that we sponsor. He and his wife served this village of almost 150 people. We worshiped with them, and although we had no idea what they were singing, we felt the Spirit of the Lord in that place. They do not have a regular church building. They worship in what they call a prayer hut. It's a thatched roof, open building. And so during monsoon season, you can pretty much imagine what happens to it. It's pretty much destroyed. And so after the rainy season every year, and when the rains have stopped, they rebuild their prayer hut. The day we visited, they had had an unexpected rainstorm the night before. That morning, the congregation had gathered palm branches and banana leaves and had spread them on the path to the church for us to walk on so we wouldn't get all muddy. I thought about those disciples, and I thought about how they must feel on that first Palm Sunday as they followed Jesus into Jerusalem with the people spreading the palms and garments on the road for them to pass. I was so touched by the kindness of these people. As we were sitting in the church, I noticed this older lady coming down the path with her walking stick for support. Suddenly, this little boy jumps up out of the crowd and runs out to help her. I realized how much the people in the villages care for one another. Often, the pastor and his wife will go without as they give to the people they serve. If someone is sick and they can't work, oftentimes the pastor's wife will take food from their table and share with his family. Those flashlights that we presented to the pastors will often be given to someone in their village that doesn't have any source of light. That's how they show Jesus to the people they know. Prasanth and Nirmala Kumar have faithfully been serving the Brethren Mission in India for over 45 years. God provides them with strength and energy. I don't know how. They're older than we are. And the wisdom to carry on the ministry and the Great Commission in Andhra Pradesh state. Their son Sudhir and his wife and their family are now serving alongside them. Sudhir does most of the traveling to the village churches to encourage and support the local pastors. Nirmala oversees the orphanage and the sewing school, and she also does some of the preaching. Prasanth does the Friday evening prayer service, spending 3 to 4 hours at the church praying for the needs of the people. This family greatly love God, and they love their country and the people there. Well, we have more stories to tell, and Keith and I will have some pictures, and we're going to be sharing a little bit more during the luncheon. I hope that you will stay. We might even have a picture of me on the floor playing caroms, but I hope that you will stay and also support another mission that's going this summer to Chile and to Peru, and hear more about our story. I want to leave you with just a couple final thoughts this morning. Now, I used to think that every person in this church needed to pack their bag and go on an international mission trip. I was just pretty sure that's what God was wanting you to do. Well, again, Pastor Kurt sort of told me, and in his gentle way said, you know, if everyone goes, who's going to stay and do the work here in North Manchester? So you might be thinking, you know what, I must be doing something wrong because I've never done anything like Linda and Keith. I cannot emphasize enough that my story is not your story. God is the great author of each story, and He wants to write your unique story that is all your own, if you will let Him. Even if you never leave North Manchester, God is giving you experiences that He will use to bring glory to Himself if you will allow Him. Now, I'm not saying it's going to always be easy or comfortable. Believe me, God often throws surprise chapters into our life story to draw us closer to Him. His hope is that we will use those experiences and share them with others to draw them closer to Him as well. Well, 5 years ago, God wrote a chapter in our daughter Joyce's life that we just wanted to rip out and throw away. At 7 months, she delivered a stillborn baby girl named Grace. It's hard to imagine going through these times in our lives without God's strength and love. It's also hard to understand God's plans for us during these times. But Joyce and Chris chose to trust God's story, and they began to encourage other couples that were going through similar situations. They also opened up their home to children that need a safe place to live for a time through foster parenting. Would they have written their story differently? Absolutely. But they have allowed God to keep the pen and keep writing whatever He wants to put into their life story. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and all of Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. You know, Jerusalem was the hometown of most of those he was talking with. So start there. Do your neighbors and friends, co-workers, do they know that you love Jesus? As we saw, next Sunday is Easter, and maybe that would be the best time to invite someone to come to church with you. I hope that if God does call you to go to another country on a mission trip, that you will say yes. But I want you to know that if he doesn't, that's okay too. Every one of our stories is going to be different, and every experience that we have is uniquely designed by God for us, for you. He uses whatever we allow him to use. I challenge you to give him your all. Give God the pen and let him write you an amazing life story. Will you please pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the stories that you're writing in our lives. I pray, Father, that you will help us to embrace whatever it is you've put into our lives, and that we will be people who will use the experiences that you give us to draw others closer to you. Father God, right now I want to pray for my dear friends in India. They've already worshiped, and now they're getting ready to go to bed. And Father, I pray that you would give them good rest and strength for the coming week. Father, help us to be the people that would be on fire for you. And Father, that we would continue to just embrace all that you have for us. And Father, that you would show us all that you want us to do, and that we would be willing to say yes. I pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.